Coffee Break, where Helena comes to talk.
Welcome into Coffee Break. I'm Troy Shockley. Thanks for joining us this morning. I do appreciate that. And we've got Kevin Tenney from the Lewis and Clark County Fairgrounds starting off the show today. Kevin, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing all right. You're ready to head out for some basketball.
Go Bruins.
Yeah. You got it's divisional basketball today. Your kiddo plays basketball. You excited for this thing?
I am, because I honestly think the Brew have a chance to do it. If we can get Grovem and Cook and Swanson hitting their shots, we can take out Hellgate. I think Hellgate and Sentinel are the two big ones. But I think if we're hot, we can beat anyone.
Yeah, and I think that goes for the girls, too. I mean, the girls, I'd be shocked if the girls aren't playing for a state championship.
The girls here are amazing.
In a week and a half or whatever it's going to be.
Yeah, the girls are amazing, and they're young, which is great, so they're going to be just as good.
Yeah, those Bartsch girls are only juniors.
Yeah, that's scary.
Sorry to the rest of the state. Kevin's headed out here in a little bit to watch some basketball, but I think Bengals, frankly, have a pretty good chance to do okay, too. I mean, Helena's going to do okay this weekend.
I think they'll both be playing again next week.
Yeah, it's going to go pretty well. The big news at your place, you got a show.
We got a show
coming up. I know you were working for a long time to get a show for the fair, for the Last Chance Stampede. We got one now.
We do, and it's probably the most excited I've been for a show since I've in my 15, 16 years at the fairgrounds.
Yeah, if somebody somehow missed that, I don't know how that would have, but who you got coming in?
We got country superstar Cole Swindell.
Yeah, he somehow is walking that line between superstar and up-and-comer. Like, he's both at the same time.
Right. He's only released 11 songs officially. 9 of those have gone number one. But he's actually a little out of our price range, but we went up a little bit to get him. He was routed, so we got him for probably about $60,000 less than he normally asked for.
Meaning that he's heading through this area already to head to another show.
Right, yeah. He's actually in Utah, which it's with the six-hour drive. That's what they consider a route if it's within 6 hours. So, he's in the neighborhood, I don't think we'll afford him next year because he's got a new album coming out.
It depends on how much he likes it here. He might give you a discount.
True. Though I've never seen that happen.
I mean, we're crossing our fingers, right?
Right.
I know we've talked about it a bit before, but for those that haven't caught that, at least briefly, talk us through the process, because there's so many people out there trying to get only a limited number of acts, frankly, and it's not as easy as saying, hey, we want you.
Oh, no, not anywhere close to that. Yeah, we start in October. September, October, we get a list of avails that are free at the time. Then the process is like, okay, well, he's this much, she's this much. This is what we'll have to sell in tickets. And then we put an offer in. If we feel confident we can sell enough tickets, and then you wait. And sometimes it's a week, sometimes it's 2 weeks, and then you get a no. And then, all right, well, who's available now? And then it just keeps going and going. And so you'll put an offer in, and then someone will say, oh, someone in Florida offered them, and someone in North Carolina offered them at the same time, so they're going to go to the East Coast.
Right.
We actually had one of the acts. It's called the Roots and Boots Tour. It's Colin Ray, Sammy Kershaw, and, God, I'm drawing a blank on the other one. There one other guy, three legends that have been around since, you know, the 80s, have a lot of hits, but they come out together, sing a bunch of songs, and then one guy sits out in the stage. But it's a really cool show that I saw in Vegas. We were going to do them with a more of an up-and-coming, like a Michael Ray or something, and they actually accepted our offer.
Aaron Tippin,
there you go, yeah. Thank you. And then the next day after they accepted our offer, they said, oh, We didn't look at Aaron Tippin's schedule. He's booked that day. The other two were free. So that was about a month process. So that really put us behind the eight ball.
Yeah.
And then luckily Cole kind of fell into our laps and it ended up working.
Yeah, because there's so many moving pieces that it has to work for you, has to work for them. The money has to work. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that has to come together. And this is going to be a good show. I mean, what's the feedback that you've been getting on this?
This is the most excitement I've seen, at least on the social media side. I know you guys put up a little poll or did something the day of the tickets, and the comments were like almost to 1,000 at this point. People have been asking, you keep bringing, you know, they're not quite there or they were there 20 years ago. Why not something new? And I think we hit that market.
Have we seen the social media excitement translate into early ticket sales?
Yeah. We are actually, I think we had the best opening day ticket sales that we've ever had. So,
well, that's good. I mean, because we all know Helena's so slow. It must be good if people are getting tickets for the summer already.
Right. And if we hit our normal, what we normally do, we'll be sitting fine and looking good for next year. And this gives me some more, because it's a risk. But this gives me a little more confidence in when we start looking next year.
Yeah. So Cole Swindell coming, that's July 22nd. Is that the right date?
22nd, yeah.
Okay. So you've got time to plan, guys. But
yes.
Let's help Kevin out. Let's get those tickets early. Let's help him out. And you don't want to wait in line for those things anyway. So go on down there, pick them up. Other big shows coming up. Who's Live anyway? That's coming up on May 29th.
Friday, May 29th.
Tickets still available for that?
Tickets still available. We've been pretty quiet on advertising. We'll start picking it up again. They went pretty quick at the beginning,
yeah. But
like always, once the advertising dies down, it slows down. But we expect that to pick up starting in April.
So there's some available, but it's not unlimited. I mean, the tickets are going well for that as well.
Yeah. That one is there are some available, but I wouldn't wait on that.
Right, and then. Just the following day, right? Montana Music Live. That's going to be a fantastic show.
I'm looking forward to that one the most, I think. That's going to be a lot of fun. And if we can get 2,000 people in that building for all these local, I guess not local, but Montana acts to get a play in front of a crowd like that, and it's a cheap $25 ticket, I mean, come on down and have a beer and just listen to some good music for 4 hours.
Just one? I mean, it's a 4-hour concert.
Right.
You can have more than a beer, I think.
Well, I don't want to promote drinking too much.
Well, over 4 hours, you can spread it out.
There you go.
But that's coming up on May 30th. And yeah, like Kevin said, I mean, the fantastic acts coming in. These aren't just acts that we pulled together off the karaoke stage. These are fantastic musicians.
Yeah, and Scott and Mike have been doing a good job. They're bringing them in. And I mean, everyone in Helena that listens to this radio, one of these, or the Mighty Mo anyway, know who these guys are. So come support these Montana acts and just have fun.
Yeah, it's going to be really, really good. Kevin Tenney with the Lewis and Clark County Fairgrounds in with us this morning. We got a couple minutes left. As far as coming soon events, you've got this weekend, you got Gun Show this weekend, right?
Gun Show this weekend and then the Big Maiden Montana Show next weekend.
That's always a fantastic show.
7,000 people will go through those doors on Saturday, not next Saturday. So, yeah, that's a pretty neat show, and a lot of people enjoy the heck out of it.
Yeah, that's an interesting show because, like you said, I mean, there's so many people that come through there, but somehow it doesn't feel overcrowded because it's just a steady stream
throughout
the day. And if you want to get started and feel good about yourself of, you know what, I bought a Christmas present. I'm getting started early. It's probably the only early present you'll end up buying. It'll be November and go, oh, now I have to. But this is the place to do it.
It is. And a funny story is that my wife did buy a Christmas present at last year. So.
Yeah, we have.
Yeah. So,
oh, it's fantastic.
Yeah, absolutely. And they some neat stuff that they have for sale down there.
Yeah. So go check out the Made in Montana Trade Show. That's next weekend. Is it Friday, Saturday, Saturday, Sunday? Which is?
It's Saturday. It's Friday, Saturday, but Friday is for only distributors. It's gotcha. Not open to the public.
Gotcha. So show up down there next Saturday for the trade show. If you want to get feeling good about getting stuff early, it's a place to go.
Exactly.
Kevin, thanks for coming in, man.
Thanks for having me.
I sure appreciate it. Lots going on out at the fairgrounds. Not for you for the next couple days. You've turned the keys over.
Yeah, I turned them over for the next couple days. Go Brew.
All right. Thanks, Kevin. I just wanted to step away from the show for a few seconds to tell you that if you miss an episode, you can always catch up. We're on iTunes, so find our show there or swing by coffeebreak959.podbean.com. Local and area events, city, state, and national officials, your neighbors doing incredible things. We talk to them all on Coffee Break, where Helena comes to talk.
In today's always-on world, your business demands a simpler approach to network security. At Blackfoot Communications, we deliver state-of-the-art security solutions, from the perimeter to endpoint devices and remote data backup, for businesses across Montana.
Ensure your company's network is online all the time. For more information, visit goblackfoot.com/security.
Welcome back into Coffee Break. I'm Troy Shockley. Thanks for joining us today. Thanks for sticking around. We're finishing the show with Joe Dueling, Joe, a Helena rancher and Republican candidate for Congress. Joe, thanks for coming in, man. You are busy.
Morning, Troy. Yep. Thanks. It's, you know, Montana's a big, big state. You know, we put on, I think we're heading almost 50,000 miles. So that's a big state.
Yeah, you're putting some, are you carrying spare tires with just in case?
No, man, I drive a Ford. We're good to go.
and we were talking.
I got a Ford F-350, and a lot of people are telling me that's probably not the best campaign vehicle, but, you know, I got to have my space,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, you want it to be roomy when you're driving to Glasgow and Dillon. And that's what we were talking right during the break. I was talking with Joe about, you know, he's driving all over the state. And that's something that matters here in this state. And I know that's a frustration with some folks on the Republican side, with some of our Republican representatives, of you're here all the time, but you do events. You don't have town halls where we can come and we can talk to you.
Yep.
That's something that you're frustrated with as well.
And it shows. It really shows in our fundraising level. We've got almost 400 Montana donors. Our average check's $100. You know, I've said every radio interview I've done, and I've done, you know, thousands, it seems like, and I've said I'm going to have live town hall meetings. People are going to come in and ask me questions. I can't believe you'd be scared to do them. And it shows, like, in, you know, the leading candidate, Matt Rosendale, in this race, he's got $1 million, but of the money that he's got, it's only 107 Montana donors. The rest is out of state, Washington D.C. money, swamp money. And, you know, it just shows that the grassroots is where it's at. We raise, you know, I said our average check's $100. And, you know, there are people who run for city council in East Helena that have more than 107 donors from Montana. So the point of this is, you know, this it's going to pay off. I'm 100% confident this kind of grassroots is going to pay off. People want to visit with you, talk with you. They want to see you in those coffee shops. I got to tell you, I'm probably eating way too much. Julie's reminding me that now and again. So that's the hardest part, is trying to stay healthy on the road, because you spend 8 hours in a vehicle and you think you need to eat three meals, but you should only eat one.
Right.
But yeah. Well,
even if in some of those places you're eating, you maybe shouldn't eat that whole meal.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I was in Glasgow on Tuesday, and they brought the breakfast, and they brought some side pork, and it was like 6 pieces of side pork, and I ate them all, but I probably shouldn't have.
Well, you want to be polite, right? Joe Dueling is our guest this morning. Joe, a Republican candidate for Congress. Let me ask you, because you are a rancher, Joe. I mean, ranching this winter, not quite like last winter, right?
Well, I was just talking to some guys coming in here. You know, if we had another winter like we had last winter, I'd seriously consider selling out. That was one of the most miserable winters I can imagine. The last two really were pretty tough. It's been really fortunate we're calving. And they're able to do a lot of it on their own, so I'm not I'm able to go out and campaign, come home, feed the cows, and
they're calving out there in t-shirts.
Yeah, and tag them. All my calves have their ears and their tails, and certainly hasn't been the last 2 years. So we've been pretty fortunate that way. But the reality of really, Troy, what you're talking about is that between the environmental climate issues that have happened from tough winters, plus the down prices, agriculture is in really big trouble. And mm-hmm. as guys are starting to renew their lines of credits this year, they're saying that the banks aren't so generous as they've been in the past. And the ag sectors, you know, 46 counties in Montana, you know, outside the Big 11, you know, it's pretty tough. And the towns are feeling it. You know, the small towns like Conrad and Shelby and Glasgow are feeling that the ranchers aren't coming in and buying new gates and buying new pickups or whatever they need to do, because they just can't afford it. They're all in defensive mode. And so, you know, we've got to have a farm program that works for everybody. And those farm programs are safety measures. So when there is environmental concerns and disasters, that there's there to protect those guys. So those are outside their control, and they'd be able to survive. And you think about the most risky thing you do, the risky business out there is agriculture, where you're gambling on rain, you're gambling on weather, you know, and then you'll throw in the commodity prices.
Yeah.
You just got to, you know, John F. Kennedy said it right, you know, and said that agriculture is the only where you buy everything wholesale. You buy everything retail, you sell everything wholesale, and you pay the freight both ways. It's sometimes a tough industry, and so, you know, we're seeing a lot of issues and impacts that are hurting those counties for sure.
So what's the attitude of I mean, you've been out there. You've been talking with a lot of folks. What is the attitude right now? Because in terms of world trade, it's been a concern for some time. It seems like maybe some light at the end of the tunnel. But at the same time, we're waiting for things not just to stabilize, but start trending back up to make up lost ground.
So the trade deals that were done, and they were great trade deals that were done, we started to see some really good movement. We started to see cattle move up and wheat move up. And then the coronavirus comes in, hits it, and takes 20 cents off the cattle market in a week's period of time. So there's a lot of outside factors that are causing these kind of issues. At the end of the day, and I believe this so wholeheartedly, that the product that the American farmer grows is a superior product, and its demand is pretty high. But as the U.S. economy is rocking and rolling the way it is, our dollar has gotten so strong against everybody else's dollar that if you're going to buy wheat on the open market in the world, it's hard to put the value of 40-50% more the cost of wheat right. versus what you get in South Africa or coming out of Australia. So when the dollar is strong, farmers really suffer because our commodities are just hard to compete on the world stage. We grow about 40% of the world's food, and we have about 5% of the world's population. So that just kind of adds up there.
Yeah. Joe Dooling, a Republican candidate for Congress, in the studio with us this morning. If you do have some questions for Joe, you're welcome to text that in to me. I've got it pulled up here. It's 855-406-4064. Again, our text line, 855-406-4064. Send me a question.
Is that new?
Well, we actually borrow it from the Mo. It's the Mo's line,
it's a station-wide thing.
I'm borrowing it from
him. We all borrow the same.
Look, I don't think Scott Hershey should get questions for me.
I mean, we're taken away from their, Scott Hershey over next door started this morning. He's been talking about it for years. And he finally said, you know what, I'm going to put it together. They're doing a bracket over there for the toughest country singers. Like, who would beat who in a bar fight is essentially what they're doing.
So he Junior. And I were. I got Hank Williams Jr.
He and I were talking about that this morning. They've got different brackets of, you got the female bracket, you got the classic bracket, you got the current bracket.
Oh.
It's actually a lot of fun. I was throwing some names at him this morning.
Don't take Luke Bryan.
My money's on Trace Adkins, to be honest with you.
He's a big boy.
Toby Keith.
Yeah,
Toby Keith was an old oil worker.
It's true.
That's probably true.
I heard
true.
Stories of him in his day where he would come off stage and stop bar fights.
Yeah, well, I believe there is a guy that used to, Kurt, you probably know, old country singer, shot a guy in the face. I mean, that sort of ends the fight before it starts.
Yeah.
But we're gonna waste all our time talking about that. Joe, I know land obviously very important to you, as it is all Montanans. We seem like we're finally on the edge of having a land and water conservation fund that's actually funded. How big a deal is that?
I have a little few concerns with it. It mandates about $300 million a year for the federal government to buy more land. And I really wish that there were some provisions in there that allowed the federal government to manage the land that they have in terms of spraying the weeds and building the fences and keeping the trails up, because they're having a hard time managing what they have now. And for them to buy more land, I've got some real reservations about the Land and Conservation Fund, to be honest with you. But I do believe it's a very good program to take royalties off oil offshores and use it in to help preserve the inland country, the inland stuff that are assets for us in the public land. I 100% approve of the ability for us to get access to public land. Reality is that, we as landowners and our ranch has always had kind of a policy, you ask us, we'll let you on type things. And you give people access to the Forest Service, let them enjoy the Forest Service as much as we do. And so I applaud that part of it. But the actual purchasing of more land, as ranchers out there, we got to compete with the state of Montana is now buying a lot of land up. Yeah, you got outside interests like APR out there buying up land, and now you have to compete with the federal government. It just raises the price of land even more in a time where it's really tough for us to buy land because of commodity prices.
So when it comes to land conservation, public access, all kind of lumped into one just big topic, what is it that needs to change in Washington, and how do we actually get that to change? Because honestly, Montana's sort of a small political fish, right? And so you're talking to somebody on the East Coast about how important it is for us to be able to access this checkerboard of public lands. They're going, why do I care? So what needs to change, and then how do you actually make it happen?
There's this attitude out there on public lands that the best thing to do is just to let it sit there and not utilize it, right? So, oh, it's so beautiful, just leave it. Instead of trying to do an approach where we're actually managing that as an asset, where we're logging it to keep the logs, the trees healthy, and we're grazing it to keep the fire protection down, and we're managing it with fences, and we have roads for people to get through, that as long as those roads aren't making big scars, and you know, we actually use it so that everybody gets allowed to use it. And I think the biggest issue that any congressman from Montana is going to have to deal with is how to educate somebody who doesn't understand the dynamics of a million acres out here. You just can't not utilize it, because it hurts those county economies if you have a big chunk of your county that has no resource bringing any revenue in.
Yeah.
So we have to, you know, we've got some counties in Montana that have 80% federal land on them. And so we have to be able to utilize that federal land so that county can have schools and roads and all the things that it needs to have. You know, the payment in lieu of taxes program was great when Congress had money, but you know, there's just not the money that was once there. And so we got to utilize this as an asset, not as a something that you just leave there. Because the kind of forest fires we're having now, when you just leave it, are scarring the soil so bad that what comes back is noxious weeds. And that's killing habitat for animals. That's killing the ability to have a thriving ecosystem when you have that kind of activity.
We're talking with Joe Dooling this morning. He's a Helena rancher, and he's also running for Congress. And I know one thing, Joe, that you support federal funding for the border wall. We all want – it's one of those things where I think no matter what side you're on, whatever you think that looks like, everybody wants their family to be safe. Everybody wants the country to be safe. When it comes to funding for the wall, though, there was recently, we reported on, some money earmarked for the National Guard. They're going to upgrade their C-130 fleet. That got redirected to the wall. What are your thoughts on that? Because you've got two things that we care about.
Right.
And now one of them isn't getting – they're out there flying planes from like the mid-70s.
Yeah. So this is what's wrong with Congress, and this is exactly why we need – I use the word do-over. We need to get folks that aren't part of this kind of a swamp, I guess you will, or they're in the system forever, that want the system to stay the same, to continue to run for election. And of course, my opponents, got one that's running for six different office in six cycles, another one running for five and four. I mean, we got to stop this kind of turnover, get people in there that want to actually do the job. We need a border wall, and we need to take a look after our National Guard troops, and they shouldn't be competing with each other for money. You talk to any sheriff, and I've been endorsed by about a dozen sheriffs. You talk to any sheriff out there, we got the drugs that are coming in. They're coming in from Mexico. They're coming in illegally. They're getting flown over in drones. They're getting in tunnels. We just need to have security there, and I think everybody can see that. And they shouldn't be one or the other. Those are both. We need to set priorities. But this comes back to, we haven't passed a budget in Congress since 1998. We're just playing around with the 1998 budget inflators on there to take care of the inflation, and you get a CR that you get at 8 o'clock and at PM, and you're voting out at 8 a.m. and people are trying to sleep in between. It's just in 2,200 pages.
Yeah.
So the system's
nobody reads the thing. You can't.
And the real problem as I get more and more in this thing and the amount of money it takes to run, the real issue is that the folks that want the system to continue to be as broken as it is, and the ones that are funding the one to keep the system broke. There are very many people like big pharma, those kind of companies that are benefiting well from a total dysfunctional system, and they're funding this thing. Somebody asked me today, he said, well, how'd you fix it? And I think the only way you fix it is to put a max on campaign contributions, that each campaign can only have X number of dollars, and you leave it at that, because the reality is the system is so broke, and the amount of outside influences, when you have 95% or 90% of your money coming in from out of state, who are you going to listen to? You know,
I know one thing before we want to run out of time. I mean, when we talk border security, I think all of our minds automatically go down to Mexico, and it's certainly a problem. Yeah. But here in Montana, we've got a northern border too. Have you been up there? Have you talked with folks up there?
Yeah, I was in Malta just down the road the other day, and sitting there with some border patrol guys, and we were talking about the border. Our border with Canada is pretty good. Those guys feel pretty confident that they're able to catch illegals trying to come in, and they're doing a really, really good job. There are areas where our borders are issues. You know, of course, Detroit is a big issue right there. They're so close. You know, you get into Glacier Park, it's hard to manage. Mm-hmm. But, you know, from Cut Bank – to Plentywood, the border is pretty easy to manage. You know, a little bit of issue at the Sweetgrass Hills, but it's easy to see. You can see it from a satellite. You can see it pretty easily. But there are some issues on our border. You know, it's the longest border, and I think isn't the longest unprotected border in the world, something like that.
Yeah, it have to be.
Yeah. So yeah, there are some issues there. Thank God, Canada is a willing player, and so it's a little bit harder for terrorists and drug dealers to operate in Canada as it is in Mexico.
So when you're going up to Malta, when you're going over to Dillon, when you're talking with all these folks, what have you learned through these conversations that you didn't know before? That it was sort of a revelation going, oh, well, that is an issue.
Well, there's issue every week. There's a new issue every week, right? I mean, in August, you and I were talking about some red flag warning laws regarding guns. And so there's an issue every week, it seems like, as, the constant fighting that's going on in Washington, D.C., where they're just, they're grasping at whatever straw to hit each other. I mean, obviously this week we're going to talk about threatening the Supreme Court justice, right? And the whole system has got some issues. In my mind, these seats that are called safe seats, that are safe Republican seats or safe Democrat seats, our forefathers never envisioned that kind of scenario where if you're in a safe Democrat, let's just take Nancy Pelosi. She can act or say whatever she wants with no fear of losing her job. Our forefathers never anticipated those kind of scenarios where people could act this way and act like 5-year-olds and get away with it. And that's the problem that's come from gerrymandering, all the issues that are happening that are making these seats, so what they call them, safe seats, where nobody has to worry about ever taking somebody out. That has to change as well.
I think you just described a lot of politics, acting like 5-year-olds. I think that might describe it. Joe Dooling, he's a Helena Rancher. He's a Republican candidate for Congress. Joe, our final few seconds here, we're all out of time, but man, I appreciate you coming in.
Yep, joedooling.com is the best way to get a hold of me. If you feel like you want to support, I'd appreciate it.
Yeah, so head online, find out who he is, what he stands for, and we'll have you in here again and chat with you down the road.
Any day, anytime. I love it.
I appreciate you tuning in this morning, folks. That's all the time we've got. But we'll see you back here tomorrow morning, same time on Coffee Break. We'll see you then. I'm Troy Shockley, and that's it for Coffee Break today. Be sure to check us out on iTunes. Head on over. Give us a review there. That's always much appreciated. Or swing by coffeebreak959.podbean.com. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you back here tomorrow.